Welcome to Spill the Char podcast,
where you join us, Phoebe,
Elsa,
Lauren,
and Joelle,
on our virtual terrace as we discuss the British Asian female experiences today.
We hope we will help inspire and encourage you.
So grab a drink and come join us in today's episode.
Welcome back to Spill the Char. We're on episode 23, and today we have a special guest with us. It's Jerry. Welcome, and we're very grateful to have you. And Jerry, one, is basically a storyteller, brand builder, community leader, expert in so many things, and he's the founder and CEO of Just Like Media, an Asian American storytelling company whose brand include Dear Asian Americans, which you might have heard in the community, Beyond the Resumes, so many other podcasts. Definitely want to ask you how you juggle all of that, as well as the Asian Podcast Network, which recently hosts its first award ceremony. So yeah, we have an icebreaker question for you. What's your favorite Asian snack?
I don't have a snack. There's a drink from Korea that I still love called Baekgeol, which is a barley-based cola.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's sort of a very sugary beer, but there's no alcohol in it. I get to have it here from time to time, and I guess it's not an actual snack, but like, you know, I could probably eat rolls and rolls of kimbap, which is the Korean, you know, seaweed wrap. But yeah, you know, like you have to either make it or go to the store to buy it. You can't, you know, it's not very shelf stable.
Is there a go-to shop that you, you know, go to get
these? I mean, I live in LA, so, you know, we have the largest Koreatown outside of Korea here.
So cool.
It's about half an hour away, so it's not the farthest place in the world, but we used to live right in Koreatown, which was awesome because everything is open 24 hours, or most things are open 24 hours, except alcohol. Alcohol is limited by government time. Where we live now, we live a little bit in the suburb area, so it's not too far, but not too close either.
Oh, honestly, if I had like Koreatown, like if I lived there or lived near it, I would just be eating 24/7. Like that would be so bad. That'd be so bad for my wallet, so bad for my waistline.
It is. And then you end up drinking on like a Monday because your friends are like, hey, what are you doing? And then you say, nothing. And then you just say, walk down the street and meet me for a drink. Well, we can't do it now, right? Especially here in America. So I guess for folks, we're recording this like the day after we have a new president. So up until yesterday, we had really incompetent people. And I think starting from yesterday, they're not perfect either, but they're better. So hopefully we can meet friends for a drink in person at some point in the very near future.
I guess as a kind of second icebreaker question we had. So as a seasoned podcaster, how do you deal with kind of your microphone issues, like microphone crackling, or like have you thought of a way to put your microphone in the right place? Because all of us have been struggling with this, especially at the beginning of starting this podcast.
Yeah, so I think microphone and, you know, technical stuff, for folks who are listening, any microphone is better than no microphone. That's like people that just need to learn that. Any headphone is better than no headphone. A lot of the feedback basically comes from your microphone picking up your speaker, and when multiple people are laughing or talking. And so your computer, especially on laptops, they're good, but they're not good, right? So it kind of spazzes out when it's trying to pick up everything from the microphone as it's trying to pick up the sound. Because in a laptop especially, everything is built so tightly together so that the speakers and the microphone are very, very closely together in a way. As far as like what type, I mean, I think, you know, if you have hundreds of dollars or pounds, you can get like the very nice Shure or, you know, Hale mics. Otherwise, you know, any is good. I see that some of you guys have the pop filter, which is really fantastic. I just have a, you know, your standard XLR mic with a spongy cover on top. So that covers most of it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that most people don't think about is how you treat your room. So now, as a lot of people are recording from home and their bedrooms and stuff, there's a lot of, you know, sound absorption things. But if you're in an office, like in a, you know, a conference room, those rooms echo because sound bounces off of flat surfaces. And so more about sort of what your room looks and feels like. And I guess, you know, this is a much, I guess, could be a longer discussion, but like, what is the point of your podcast? And if you intend to make money from it, then you should invest in it too. And so, you know, buying, I don't want to say proper, but, you know, buying some things to, because you're actually going to save your money or time on the back end if you spend less time recording.
Yeah.
And you lose less people. If the content is good, people won't really drop off because of, you know, minor sound issues, but it's one less reason why somebody might stop listening to you, right? So
yeah, for sure. And like also editing, it just is so much less of a headache, because we kind of laughed when you said, you know, mic is better than no mic, because it's kind of embarrassing, as some of our listeners might know, because at, you know, this episode is episode 23 and 21. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about how, you know, our own podcast journey, our own tips. We started like what, last summer, and we basically recorded with our phone, right, the voice memo app, and we found it was okay. And like, it was really weird to us, because some of our listeners would be like, oh, like, we love your audio, and we're like,
that's actually stuff. Better than your laptop, like any newer Samsung or Apple's microphone is far than most plug-in phones out there. So yeah, that's actually a good thing. I know some people that Zoom to record, but have all their guests and stuff just voice record, and then they piece it together on the back end. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we used to do as well. But then we kind of all got mics, so we're like, oh, maybe it's easier to record in Zoom and have like the separate audio tracks. But yeah, I guess we can dive more into that later. But for listeners that don't know you, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your story and how you started?
Everything. So I am stateside, and so I identify as a Korean-American man. I'm a father of two. I was actually born in Korea. Came here about 28 years ago when I was 8. I came here. I grew up mostly in California. I ended up going to high school in New York City, and then came back to attend university out here. Career-wise, I was mostly a sales and marketing person. I work for home builders. I work for most stuff in the real estate space. Most recently, in 2015, I went back to graduate school to get my MBA, after which I spent a couple years working in a consultancy, and a couple years... Oh, please don't do that. And spent a very, very brief time at a dumpster fire called WeWork. And after that, you know, and I guess this goes in line with like how all this makes sense. Like, and I love the fact that you four ladies and so many of our younger brothers and sisters are starting their storytelling journey at relatively much earlier points in their life. But the reason why I started focusing on storytelling and building a podcasting company is the frustrations around authenticity. And so often when we talk about work and our presence in a Western, and we used to typically say corporate America, but it's all the same across the world, right? Like when you show up to a workplace that expects you to dress a certain way, that expects you to talk a certain way, and more importantly, they expect you not to behave in other ways that are not proper. And in a old traditional conservative white male driven corporate world, we are not necessarily encouraged to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so this is not about like, you know, being caricatures or stereotypes of Asianness where we just walk in and like, you know, act like idiots, but it's talking about, you know, can you express your views and how you feel silenced or talked over? You know, I am not a woman, and I know it's worse for women in the corporate space, in the academic space, even in nonprofit spaces where particularly women of color, and I don't know what the experiences are like in the UK. From what I've read and from friends that I've spoke to, it's not much different from a discrimination and sort of otherizing perspective. And so, you know, that's sort of, I felt that for the majority of my professional and even my academic life where, you know, where do I go? I kept looking. And so I switched jobs a lot. I switched industries a lot. Obviously, I went back to grad school and tried to do something that was a little bit more quote, desirable from a corporate view perspective. And I think what I was searching for without me really having the proper words to describe it was I kept wanting to change up different parts of my employment condition, whether it was pay, location, industry, title, all these things, right? To hopefully get to a place where I felt like I could be me. And to get to a place where, you know, sure, the money was good or whatever, but it was just like, where can I be happy? Where can I be myself? It took me a very long time, 10, 15 years, to finally realize that I was never, ever going to find a place where I could be me. And the only place that where I could be me was if I work for myself, right? Because this all goes back, I think, to how organizations are in, and managers even are incentivized. They are there to either protect themselves or protect their business. And so as somebody who feels very strongly about representation, about voicing and, you know, leaving a legacy for people who look like us, mm-hmm. like that doesn't work, right? That doesn't work with companies whose goals are either shareholder value or just massive growth, or they say toxic colorblind things like, we don't see color in this organization. The only color we see is green because we're badass salespeople and we don't give a crap what you look like, right? Like, and you can imagine what kind of person would say that, mm-hmm. right? It's, you know, it's a tall mm-hmm. white dude with a lot of privilege, right? So
specifically tall.
Yeah. I mean, they're all, it's like, I don't know, like that's sort of how I ended up unintentionally getting to this place where about a year and a half ago, I found myself not having a corporate day job, but also thinking about, okay, do I really want to go desperately seeking another paycheck? And at what point am I going to feel like I'm continually sacrificing who I want to be and who I want to stand for in exchange for a paycheck, right? So mm-hmm. this is sort of this craziness mm-hmm. where like, okay, I can go get a job, but I know I'm going to be miserable and quit within the year. And at that point, then you're like, okay, why do you continue to live this vicious cycle where you know that you're not going into an ideal or optimistic situation? And I'm not trying to poop on people who do that. Everybody has different levels of patience or whatnot. I started doing storytelling stuff about, you know, a year and a half ago. I started the Asian Americans a little less than a year ago. I don't know when this will air, but March 2nd is when we started it. It was my first Asian American podcast telling our stories. March 2nd last year was my daughter's first birthday. So all of this stuff is really dedicated to her and, you know, to our kids, because I imagine like all the different stuff that I could have done. Not to say that I have any regrets about how I live my life, but if I had this, how would life have turned out for me differently? Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of mentoring and I do a lot of work with young folks. And when I talk to them, not much has changed in the 15, 20 years that are our age difference. So from a expectation of parents' perspective is where mm-hmm. we start, of what are our parents expect to grow up to be, from a very short list of career options. And then that perpetrates sort of our local community, our families, our churches, or whatever. And so even though we live in this massively different digital world now, young people, in my opinion, aren't encouraged to pursue those things. And part of it is a problem of representation, because what's also a challenge with Asian cultures is you're not supposed to mm-hmm. brag. You're supposed to be humble, mm-hmm. or you're supposed to just keep quiet, right? So we got all these friends doing badass things or whose stories matter, yet nobody's asking them to share their stories. And so my big genuine fear is that if we don't intervene as a generation to create stories and lasting legacy platforms, my kids and their friends are going to have the same stupid conversation when they get to college and say, I don't know what I can be. I know there's like, you know, like I don't visualize myself, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, you know, yesterday was a big day in America because for the first time, our vice president is a half Indian and Black woman. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Like, she's great at what she does. She's qualified on her own merits through her academics and her experience. But the fact that she is a Indian Black woman is a big deal, not just for a woman, but for the boys too. Because it's normal now, mm-hmm. right? Like my kids are going to grow up thinking that's just okay, right? Like, and in the UK, y'all have had, you know, more, I guess maybe because of the monarchy too, like the idea of women being in power is slightly different than it is in the American context. To understand the journey is really to figure out like, what is our place in the world? And what do I want my legacy to be? Not purely from an mm-hmm. ego perspective, but it is ego driven too. Like I want to leave my mark in the world. Mm-hmm. And part of what I want to do is to be the person that helped other things start, to have encouraged other people to start their podcast, or, you know, we'll talk about Asian Podcast Network, but, you know, my mission with that is mm-hmm. to get more of us to start storytelling and then to put into place structures and programs and motivation tools so that people don't quit, because quitting in the storytelling, industry mm-hmm. or practice is far too common.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I just guess a question that we have for you is, like, how do you feel now, and sort of what advice would you give people who are in your
life
path
is short
decision?
And again, I'll preface everything that I'm going to say with whatever people's perception of my privileges. You might be correct, you might not be correct. There might be people who will listen to what I'm about to say and say, says you, privileged guy, I need a job. I need this. I get it. I've been fired before. I've been jobless before. And with, you know, a wife and two kids, like, I understand the pressures of that. However, this is what I sort of think about and what our grandparents and parents have sacrificed for us to be here today, right? So I don't know what all of y'all individual backgrounds are, but in general, sometime in the last 50 years, our grandparents and or parents decided to leave the homeland in the midst of war, occupation, famine, economic depression, all sorts of bad things, and have either decided to go to the UK or to the US or to somewhere in the world to create a quote unquote better life for our kids. And so we have to make it under sacrifice, right? So that's number one. Are you going to make them proud? And then two is sort of what you're dealing with, given the opportunities that they've built for you, are you maximizing your potential? And while I agree that there's some goodness or some sort of merit in going to a large organization and building yourself up to a point where you can have some influence, like, you're far more capable of doing greater things than moving spreadsheets around or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the third part, if listeners can sort of visualize a Venn diagram where, like, this is your, you know, your parents and sort of your ancestors part, you're somewhere with your potential. And then the third part, which I think is what most people don't think about, is what the heck do you want your grandkids to remember you for? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And is that being a middle manager at some multinational company with 3 weeks of paid vacation? That's where I would encourage people to think about, are you doing the thing that meets at the intersection of those three things, allowing yourself the flexibility and the grace to change that definition as you go through life, because that's what life is about. But ultimately, are you doing the thing that, like, is authentically you, right? Because for me, authentically you is defined by what were you set up to do from your parents and older? What are you capable of doing to go to certain universities or work at certain places? That's all fine and dandy. And then what do you want to do, right? Because I think more than ever at any point in our entire history of humanity, you can do whatever the hell you want, right? While we make fun of the 9-year-old kid that makes $30 million on YouTube reviewing toy videos, you can make $30 million a year reviewing toy videos on YouTube, right? I hope this doesn't come off as crass or sort of tone deaf or hustle monstering, but, like, really, there is a lot of opportunity for you to think about what you want to do and to live outside the bounds of traditional employment or things that we were once thought that was the only option. And again, I'll speak from the more of the American corporate context. Through COVID and through 2020, if it has not become abundantly clear that companies actually don't care about you, that governments lack the resources and the leadership to actually do right by you. Mm-hmm. And this is not like screw all organization, I'm going to go on my own and go live on a desert somewhere. That's not it. But I think far too long, we've relied on organizations to save us. We've relied on governments to save us. There has to be a little bit more of ownership on our end to write our own history and write our own books, if you will, and not rely on a school to provide us jobs or a company to take care of us and give us a gold watch upon retirement. Because at some point, you know, again, that's the path I chose after taking a paycheck and working for other people for a very long time. That's not to say I'll never go back, but it's going to be very hard for me to find an organization whose mission, whose ethics, whose values align very close to mine. And so, that's sort of what I would encourage people to do. And then sort of as a caveat there, with all that in mind, like, don't overthink it. Just start something. I know there's a lot of people, especially in, you know, podcasting is a technical, you know, art, right? So I don't have the proper mic. I don't know how to do something, yada, yada, yada. I get all that, but who cares? Just start, right? don't compare your day one to my day 300, because I probably sounded like crap on day one, right? But also take into consideration where people started at their journey, right? Like I started podcasting at age 35 or 36 or however old I was, like after having had a deep network of people around the world who I know and I trusted, right? I worked in corporate environments. I held leadership positions. So like my interviewing skills were not at zero. Wherever you are in life, like just start. Another ugly realization and lessons from 2020 and COVID is nothing's forever, mm-hmm. right? People die. You know, people we care about get sick. And so why wait? It's not a morbid statement, but really like things could change and life is short, right? This can't be like applied to everything, but often I do this like mind, not trick, but like exercise, right? A doctor told you today that you had 2 weeks to live. If I knew I was going to die in 2 weeks, I wouldn't do half the stuff I do, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care about money. Don't care about whatever, right? And eat whatever I want. I'm going to die anyway, right? Exercise is a waste of time. I have limited time. But it really gives a lot of people to think about because, you know, for working folks, it's this deadline, this project, this presentation, this thing that this director asked me to do. It seems so important. But when you think about death, none of that stuff matters.
Mm. That was a lot of like wise words. And actually, I think, I mean, all of us are 20, turning 21, and we're literally right at the beginning of our career. So kind of hearing this actually is really comforting because all of us have been stressed out. Like we're in our final year of university and all of us are thinking like, what do we do? But honestly, I could, that whole, what you've just said, I could write a book and just have that as a quote book. Yeah. Brilliant.
I think kind of echoing what Lauren said, like at our like student fellowship, talking to friends and like, oh, what are you doing after university? Like all that stuff. And I'm like, okay. And it's like cool to see where everyone's going. But at the same time, it's like, I think hearing someone with a lot more hindsight and experience, like we must seem so naive and like young.
No, it's not. No. Please don't take it as that, right? Because the fact that the four of you have organized and have spent time on this to, you know, memorialize you guys and to have these conversations far and above and beyond what other people are doing, right? And the other part too is you know, something that you just mentioned, which is like, why compare, right? Why compare? Everybody's running their own journey and their own marathon, right? Everybody literally has a different starting point. Everybody has a different end point. With the internet, with social media, it's gotten worse. So like, how do we work around or move past all that? We need to stop doing that because it's really bad for people to put themselves up against this mythical measuring stick that really doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think it's really important that you mentioned the nuance as well of having like different experiences and knowing that the outside world does contribute to our experiences and our thoughts, but actually we still have some sort of agency. And with that in mind, and that you mentioned that obviously our parents gave their all to, you know, raise us. So how do you, with your experience now, how do you plan on raising your own kids as like Asian Americans, you know, with this kind of new perspective that you've gained?
It's appropriate because you heard my kids outside trying to get in, or I have a 4 and a 2-year-old, so trying to learn to coexist. What I think is challenging as a parent, and I give all the credit to all of our parents. I am raised kids to be successful in a world that I don't understand yet. And so if we think about how our parents approach that, my Korean American context goes like this. My grandparents were born in the 30s into an occupied Korea owned by Japan. The US forces kicked Japan out. Then Korea got into civil war. They lost friends. They lost brothers. They never saw their parents again. And then had to raise my parents in a economically depressed Korea in the 50s and 60s. In 1992, for reasons unbeknownst to me still, my parents decide to pick up their shit and move to America. They're trying to raise two kids in America. Their definition of success, their definition of parenting is rooted in all that history. Mm-hmm. Coming out of war and coming out of an economically depressed part of our Korean history, the only thing that worked for my dad was to go to school and become a doctor, right? So my parents and all of our parents were trying to raise kids, not only in a new generation, but in a whole new damn country with systemic disadvantages that our white counterparts were born into or that they had that we never had. Why that's important is once you understand that, you become so much nicer to your parents because you're like, holy crap, thank you. You had to go to a country where you didn't understand the language, the customs, and there were not a lot of people like you, and you just constantly got racism done. Like, that's what our parents did. They suffered through all that. No wonder they don't understand what we're going through. This notion of like how I'm going to parent my kids, I don't know. I'm going to let them tell me. Like, I've made some statements to my friends or like, I don't care if they go to college. And they're like, really? I was like, I don't know what the world's going to be like in 2030, 2040. I mean, coming out of COVID, schools might not exist the way we think about schools, right? I don't know. All I know is that I think the frustrations that we all feel towards our parents, I'm trying to channel all that so that I can become, to be able to have the resources and the opportunities for them to do whatever makes them happy. In one generation, we went from survival to super privileged search for enlightenment. And a lot of our older, you know, conservative elders poo-poo on us and saying like, you're soft. Yeah, but you know what? Like, we didn't grow up with war. So just because you did doesn't mean that you can't have that same sort of expectation on us. Like, we're trying to do the best with what we can. And so what will the world look like when my kids grow up, when some of you may eventually decide to have kids and have a family of your own? Like, who knows? And anybody who tells you is full of shit. We didn't know a year ago, like, what, how the world would have changed, right?
Yes.
Full of incompetent, you know, I don't know, Donald and Boris, yeah. Like, but here we are. We have to fix up their mess and move on.
Hello, hello, it's Joelle here. Did you enjoy the first part of our conversation with Jerry Wan from Just Like Media, Dear Asian American, and a plethora of other really amazing organizations championing Asian American voices? Honestly, there was so much wise information that we have to split it into two episodes. So make sure you're subscribed or follow us on your favorite podcasting platform to make sure that you don't miss part two of this conversation. You can find all his details in the description, and we will see you very soon on our next episode.
You just finished listening to an episode of Spill the Char podcast.
If you enjoyed it, make sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite podcast player.
Follow us on Instagram at spillthechar.pod,
and we'll see you back on our virtual terrace on our next episode.